have ignition sequence start. The engines are on. 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast, a place for conversation with church leaders about social media, web trends, and anything else our host wants to talk about. Neil Smith is the Vice President of Social Media and Innovation at Denham & Company, lives in Texas, loves the Spurs, and exploring the world with his family. Jay Cranda is the online pastor at Saddleback Church, lives in California, loves the Lakers and drinking black cold brew coffee, and once could do a heel flip. To engage with the show, use the hashtag SMC Podcast. Let's join the show.
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. I'm Neil Smith, and I'm joined by Jay Cranda, and we are talking Facebook today. Lots of new updates. Jay, welcome to the podcast.
Dude, we're on a Facebook blast. They've been on like development. And this is the funny thing that, you know, it's been like, they like release this stuff, and I don't know if it's strategic with Google release and they're trying to be all like, you know, competitive, but you know, they've been in the works on this stuff for a long time, some of this stuff probably years, but we're gonna talk about three big things. And funny, like each of us knew about one of them, we didn't. Like, so it's kind of funny how, I don't know if it's just the way our brains work that we see different things.
Yeah.
But the first one I want to talk about is workplace.
Yep.
So this was a big release. Facebook has released Facebook for work, and they pretty much want your boss and your company to be okay with you being on Facebook more.
Yep.
And this is a direct competitor to, you know, Slack and Yammer and a couple other things. But essentially what they've done is that they have this great feature of personalized news feeds. You can make calls, video calls, and, you know, within Messenger app and groups. And what they want is they want you to have your own work account where your whole company can do all its work communication on one platform. And yep, you can leverage Facebook Live, you can leverage all this stuff, and it would be separate from your personal. And the idea is that instead of having, you know, email and all this stuff, you can do it all within Facebook at work. And it is a paid thing. So your work would have to pay $3 per user. And I think there is a trial, or if you're a nonprofit, it's free. And I will say, it is a compelling experience because I use Slack for a lot of that stuff, and I use email. And the idea is that if you could get, let's say, especially with global companies, if you can get all your employees on one platform, you kind of go like, there is a lot of stuff with their data integration that is a compelling, it is a compelling experience. What do you think? Would Dunham & Company make the jump?
Yeah, I'm gonna press towards it for sure. So we don't use Slack internally. So I merged my company into Dunham & Company. My team is using Slack still. I'm pushing it on Dunham & Company. They're somewhat resistant because they're not used to it. They use Asana. Well, a lot of people use Slack and Asana.
Yeah.
We're trying to shift to Asana, but it's very different. And so one of the things I'm really curious about is, could this replace Asana and Slack in one place? That would make a lot of sense to me. When I visited Facebook in Austin, Texas, about 3 years ago, a friend of mine from high school works there. And I said, what tool do you use to work together, you know, productivity apps? He's like, we use Facebook. I'm like, but what tool do you use? He's like, no, we use Facebook. And he said, actually, you know, I can turn it on and off. There's some functionality. So basically what he was describing was Facebook Workplace.
Yeah.
They were using groups, and they were using a lot of the functionality and messages there of Facebook for their productivity. And it was kind of like one of those aha moments to me, where I've always just thought of Facebook as personal and email as professional, or some of these other tools. But the reality is a lot of the functionality makes sense for work. We just never correlate it to productivity and work. And so this functionality within Workplace seems to me to be a really great tool, especially in that the way people are utilizing it. I wonder if it's even going to be an opportunity to get more millennials back onto Facebook who aren't using it regularly, because in their workspaces, they might start using Facebook and it might become a more natural way for people to communicate. I think Facebook is just more and more integrating it into every aspect of how we're living our lives.
It's so interesting, that whole idea that they like the personalized feed, the groups, and then the phone call, video call, and iMessenger, how, like, you know, in my head, I'm like, right. Oh yeah, they're developing that for the individual, and to connect communities. But then all of a sudden I'm like, oh yeah, they do have this turnkey solution for work, for companies, for large companies and medium companies and smaller companies that you could, if you could use all those, I mean, you get video support, you get phone call support, you get messenger support, email. I mean, everything, it's a whole suite, and it's like $3 a month per user. You think about what you're paying for Google email and business and all this stuff. It is a pretty seamless, there is some of that stuff like Asana. I use Asana myself, and I'm like, there is some of that stuff where I'm like, how would, I mean, is that a, is there a to-do thing that they're thinking about? Because I really love Facebook groups, but like there's some stuff that bugs me, like pin posts, for example. Pin posts for some reason on mobile don't auto expand. You have to view the pin post on your mobile. I'm like, no, that's like the complete opposite of what I want you to do. I want the pin post to be the main thing the first thing they see. And then to do stuff, there's definitely a not a great experience. So I mean, there's stuff that we're gonna watch, but I think as churches, you know, I think you got, it's a free experience. I think it's worth, at least, especially if you're a smaller church, check it out, and it's free. Jump on. I mean, we'll put the links in the show descriptions to check it out. They have some cool videos too to explain it that I think are compelling.
Yeah, I think it's going to be cool. I think it's only going to develop further. Facebook continues to prove that is that they're in constant beta, and so they're constantly looking to improve and create a better user experience. And I think the more you get used to using it, it's going to be affordable. I think it's going to be pretty efficient too. So I'm eager to see that develop. I think it's definitely worth using, especially for churches and nonprofits. If it doesn't cost anything, give it a try. And if you don't like it, you know, then make adjustments. So one of, you know, two of the other, you know, we'll do one at a time here. Next steps that Facebook is announcing or releasing or changes. Sometimes they do it quietly. So one of the things that I noticed that I brought up is that Marketplace now has a more prominent, location on my mobile app. So right where my thumb naturally goes, right in the middle of the bottom row, where Messages used to be within my Facebook app, is now Marketplace. And so now, you know, they're really becoming a part of a place to buy things on social media. What are your thoughts on Facebook Marketplace, or what are you seeing, or what do you expect around this?
I just love that at any moment Facebook can just like give the middle finger to another company like eBay or somebody. Like, it's just like so crazy to me that they can, you know.
Craigslist especially, I think, is where, like, it's kind of like, okay, Craigslist just became irrelevant overnight.
Yeah. Which, I mean, Craigslist always had that issue that it was a little like, I don't know, you don't like the authentication stuff, and the look was so old. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think they're obviously, I don't know if Craigslist just becomes super black market and Facebook just becomes that thing. But I do love that idea of what that's what I loved about eBay, you know, 10 years ago plus, was that idea that, okay, I don't want to just give somebody my credit card information or like, ship something. The star rating became the thing that you could trust. Well, now it's whose friends are they with? I mean, essentially, you know, you can have that similar type of experience, I think, is a compelling thing. I just jumped on it. I saw that it got released. I hadn't even seen it. You're the one that pointed out on the mobile that it was there. I did notice the Facebook messaging icon got up. Yep. Just, I want to see the master plan of Facebook of like, you know what I mean? Like, like move this here, because you're like, oh, like, why are they detaching the messaging app? You know, which I didn't like.
Yep.
But you can kind of, you know, and they released, you know, a week ago, this whole, like, they're detaching the iMessaging app as well.
Yeah.
So there's all these things that you're like, okay, there is this master plan, but I think it's compelling. I do think it makes sense. I mean, they're all inclusive. I think Facebook at its size, it can do it. I don't know if I'm going to use it. I mean, I'll check the next time I sell my phone, but, cause that's the only time I use, eBay anymore or Craigslist. Is I think I did last time I used Craigslist was when I sold my mom's car. I was helping my mom sell a car.
Yeah.
So I'm like, will I use that? So I don't really use that much, but it is interesting and it makes sense.
Yeah. So it was one of the crazy things when I moved to New York, everyone was about Craigslist. We found our apartment on Craigslist. My neighbor, you know, he was a, you know, I don't know, a master's degree level you know, therapist or something. He had a six-figure job that he found on Craigslist. And so it's kind of like, it's interesting where different regions and people are using a platform like that. But I think people will naturally feel more comfortable as you put a name to something. And as you, even like with eBay, when you got like the star rating on the number of purchases you got, it gave credibility, just like Yelp. And so Facebook is going to add credibility to purchases. It's just an interesting feature in development. I'm going to probably go buy something just to experience it, you know, so yeah. I'm eager to buy something off of Facebook, but, and they're also going to create just knowing Facebook, they're going to create a great, simple user experience. But here's where I think it's relative to churches is there is now a shift. Facebook in the last 6 months has been putting a lot of emphasis on Facebook for nonprofits. And so they're giving a lot of tutorials and trainings and you saw the donate button come out maybe even a year ago. It's been a while that a donate button is on an app, but people don't click on that. They don't click on that call to action button, period, much on your Facebook page. But here's what's interesting. Now, if you hit on the donate button, you can actually become, you can take donations through Facebook. So here's my recommendation, everybody. Go to the Key Ministry Facebook page. It's the only page that I'm aware of that you can make a donation through Facebook. And just donate $5 to Key Ministry. I think it's the minimum that you can donate. And see how great the experience is. Because here, my experience was, I've yet to, and this is, I'm in the fundraising world now. I'm living in this. And I've never seen a donation experience so simple, so easy to use. It's within Facebook. So here's what happens. You set it up. Any nonprofit can set it up. And you can have a donate button on your site. But you can also have a donate button within post. And so on key call to action days where you want to drive people to make a donation to an effort, they can just click that donate button within your post and they're able to make a donation right there. So it's a really great user experience and you can even boost those posts. So as we work with a lot of ministries and nonprofits, we're able to, on like Giving Tuesday is a big day for us. We're able to have a Giving Tuesday call to action with the donate button. And instead of it driving them away from Facebook, which Facebook is going to automatically minimize in the algorithm, now it's keeping them there to make a donation where Facebook now gets a percentage of that donation. So what do you think Facebook is likely to do? They're going to show it more in the algorithm.
Yeah.
They want people to make donations because they're getting a percentage of that. Now they are taking 5%, which is very significant, where I think the average is about 3.25%.
Yeah.
It is more that Facebook is taking out, but and then here's the other catch is you don't get all of their information. So you get their name and the amount they gave, and then there's a checkbox where the person that's making the donation can allow Facebook to give you their email address. So it's different than driving them to your site, but from an algorithm perspective and an engagement of your Facebook audience, I think it's significant as you're building the social engagement, social opportunity. So Jay, what's your take on Facebook for nonprofits, the donate button, and all of that?
I mean, it's so crazy because it just comes down to the more you use a platform, the more likely, the better the experience gets for integration. And so like, you know, Amazon is so easy for me to use because we got single click buy. I can buy with my fingerprint now because, you know, I was buying yesterday some ant killer. We were handing out some ant traps. Because California is all a humongous ant hill, apparently, my entire life. So, like, you know what I mean? I go buy it. It's easy because I already have my info, my address, my credit card, everything set up because I use it.
I just tell Alexa. I'm like, hey, Alexa,
I know.
Can you order me some more milk? And it's like, nope, coming to your door.
It's so, like, but the essentially, it's because I've already done all the dirty work of setting up all the accounts and linking everything. And I use it enough that authenticating it isn't hard. And so any third party, you know, I see ads with like MasterPass right now, MasterCard is trying to do. Well, the problem is that I'm never going to be on their website and really dedicating about, I'm not going to, you know, I go on Discover's website because I have a Discover card, but I do that to check things. And so like Facebook, it makes so much sense. And because I'm on there all the time, Facebook, there's enough data to know if it's me or not, and they can use, and they'll get better and better with AI stuff to be able to know, is it really me or is it not me by time zones? And so it's a seamless experience. Now, the problem is I've had a hard time really dedicating using my credit card on Facebook outside of ads.
Yeah.
And so I am a little hesitant because I almost like my brain hasn't really made that jump that I go to Facebook to buy things or to spend money.
Yep.
Outside of ads. And that's almost like, to me, that's like work and life.
Yep.
And so like I separate it. So I am a little hesitant I think for me, and it might just be me because of like the way I've experienced Facebook, and it might be another generation will experience it. But like, I don't necessarily jump for joy, like, or think of, you know, when Facebook credit came out, like when they were like, you would tell like nobody really, that never caught on. So I think Facebook still has, they've done a couple of these product launches that haven't really worked. And so I think it sounds like they're hitting it at multiple angles. And the hope is one of these angles will make sense and start rolling the ball, because all you need is you need a percentage of people to buy in and start doing it. And then the rest of the community will. So I'm a little hesitant that it will make sense. I think it has potential because there's enough of a user base and there's enough people that probably want it to make work that it will be successful.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's why Marketplace is going to be so critical for Facebook for nonprofits. So I think naturally people are going to be more likely to buy stuff on Facebook than they are going to make a donation on Facebook, because they're like, am I giving this to Facebook or am I giving this to the organization? But as it just becomes simple, like Amazon, I think naturally if I'm a church, you know, I'm kind of thinking, well, can I integrate Amazon into my donation platform because it's so simple and it's trusted and people just know how to do it. And so I think Facebook is going to become the same thing. I think naturally they're going to want to compete with Amazon. And that will be an interesting competition to see how all of that plays out as Facebook is trying to get into the interaction side of the marketplace. So we'll see. It's all going to be really interesting. But I would say as a nonprofit and as a church or a ministry, you now have a couple great tools at your fingertips that you pay attention to in the workplace, you know, from an efficiency and collaboration standpoint, and now in the donations and Facebook for nonprofits. And so really look to utilize these tools. Doesn't mean you have to say, hey, we're doing away with all of our donations. We're only going to be on Facebook. That's not wise.
Yeah.
But to get set up and be moving in that direction, to be prepared as this develops further, that is wise. And so I think churches need to be looking and watching these developments, and ministries need to be paying attention, because this is not going to just, well, it's an opinion, because look, Facebook credits, people could have said this is the future and we saw that not work out. But my opinion is that more and more stuff is going to move onto Facebook. We're living our lives now more through Facebook and Instagram and some of these other platforms that Facebook is acquiring and integrating into our day-to-day life, and it integrates more into our work life too. That's only going to make it even more significant. So it's only getting bigger and it's only consuming more of our time and our attention. And so it's something we need to be prioritizing.
Hey, did you, by any chance, did you see the live demo of Oculus with Facebook?
I saw two things that were interesting with Zuckerberg. I did not see the live demo, but I did see like clips of, you know, of the Oculus demo. And then I also saw Mark Zuckerberg was barbecuing this weekend. And so he's actually using Facebook Live, which was very cool.
Oh, I see.
Because if you see, you know, so I had a breakfast with our friend Nick Runyon. And one of the things, a piece of advice that Nick shared with me that was so, so wise, and it's one of these common sense.
Was he stroking his beard when he was saying it?
He had no beard. So when I saw him, I was like, who is this guy?
Oh, that's right. He did. I did see him recently. Okay.
Yeah. So anyways, Nick is like the smartest guy in the world. So Nick, we love you. If you're listening to this podcast, we do know he listens to some or most of our podcasts. So Nick was telling me, though, he's like, if you do what Facebook wants you to, they will reward you. So when it talks to the carousel ads, they need more people to use those, and they want to get that out there. So if you run carousel ads, you're going to see more effectiveness. Or Facebook Live, they want more people to do it to demonstrate it, so you're going to see more effectiveness. So you can see Mark Zuckerberg actually using his own product, and he's not demoing Facebook. He's just saying, I'm having a barbecue. I'm going to talk about these ribs I'm cooking. He wants people to live out their lives, you know, to this live, and he's demonstrating that. And I think we need to utilize those functionalities that Facebook is demoing for us. And the earlier we do that, the more traction we're going to see. So that's wisdom from Nick Runyon. And so tell me, what was your take on, as we wrap up this episode, on the Oculus demo, and what do you think?
Yeah, so it was just super interesting because he said it was the first live demo of he was kind of making out first live demo of VR, like in a type of setting, the way that they're rolling out. But
okay.
essentially he put on, if you go to Zuckerberg's Facebook account, his personal page, or you can see the demo, but he had three people, they put on the Oculus. Every person had like almost like an avatar overlay, but it moved with them as they talked. And what they did was they were at a round table and they played an Oculus. They played a card game.
Okay.
And they sat there, and then he took out a mirror and he could see himself. And then like he popped open another thing and somebody could video chat into this round table. And I got to tell you now, outside of the whole, like, it kind of, you know, the avatars were very like, you know, Wii U, whatever, you know, looking. I mean, I get it, cause they're trying to work on, you know, graphically, you know, all those things, but the idea that, and then what they did at the table, everybody was on the table, and then they transported to like a work meeting room.
Okay.
And then they transported to like under the seat, and you're kind of like, okay, I could see, like, Nils, you and I do, like, we do a lot of online meetings. Like, the idea that we could just put on a deal and we're sitting in a room and we're just talking.
Yeah.
Like, that is a compelling experience. And I got to tell you, like, I think it made me want to go out and buy an Oculus. Like, oh my gosh, like, this is, now the problem is I don't have enough people that I know that use it to do stuff like that. But I got to say, like, that experience was a super compelling experience to kind of go like, okay, that is like real, like that is holodeck stuff that you're kind of like, okay, that is exciting. So anyways,
that's the future. You got to peek into the future.
Now that you need enough people to do it, but I think the whole meeting room thing is super cool. And plus when you got something that does multiple things like games and so forth, I think it's really cool. And they're said to be working on a wireless version just as powerful. And so anyways, so many cool things, but we could talk about Facebook forever and some cool stuff. So go to socialmedia.church to learn more about the show. Use the hashtag SMC podcast for recommendations and any feedback. And thank you so much for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Social Media Church Podcast. To learn more about the host, the show, or suggest a future topic, check out socialmedia.church. If you liked what you heard, then take a couple minutes to leave a review on iTunes. Every review helps. Lastly, share the podcast with a friend and use the hashtag SMC Podcast to engage with the host. Thanks again for listening.